1 Kings 5, this is one of a number of chapters where you see David repeating, you see Solomon repeating this phrase, David, my father. You know, he uses this phrase hundreds of times. My father, David, David, my father. The guy's absolutely obsessed with his father. Absolutely. He's obsessed with living out parental expectation. And yet he himself does not really, it seems in the long run, have any real faith. Even from the start of his reign, he goes wrong with women, until you come, as I read Ecclesiastes, to the total nihilism at the end, when he really does not have a faith in personal bodily resurrection, certainly does not have hope of the kingdom, he does not have the humility that his father David had, he won't face up to his sins, he's hedonistic, he does whatever he wants, takes whatever woman he fancies, he has all the wealth in the world, and he has, sure, theoretical wisdom. He has academic theology, if you like, all correct, and he writes the book of Proverbs under inspiration, absolutely full of it, and yet, as you see, particularly with the material about the Gentile woman that he warns the young man against, he just does exactly, precisely, 180 degrees, the very opposite. So this is a real warning to those who particularly have grown up in believing households. Are we, I was one of them, are we living out the expectation of our communities, of our fathers, our parents, our families, or whatever? Because there is ultimately no such thing as cultural Christianity. Even though this world is full of it, particularly in the Western world, it's full of cultural Christians, people who are culturally Christian. But Solomon is really the parade example of warning. Begin here in verse 1, that Hiram, king of Tyre, sends his servants to Solomon, for he had heard that they'd anointed him king in the place of his father. And Hiram had always admired David. So he treats Solomon as if he's his father, David. And this sort of reinforces this problem that Solomon's got. People treat him like his father. He lives out the expectations of his father. And yet his heart, as he says in Ecclesiastes, is far from all this. And you notice in verse 3 how Solomon has a way of spinning things. He says, you know how that David my father couldn't build a house for the name of Yahweh his God because of the wars which were about him on every side until Yahweh put his enemies under the soles of his feet. Well, Solomon, that's a very positive spin on what God actually said, which was, A, I do not want a temple. I don't live in houses made with hands, thank you. I want to show you my grace by building you a house and raising you up a messianic descendant if he walks in my ways. Well, David was also told that because he was a man of blood and had had a totally casual attitude to the value of human life, therefore he was not to build God's house anyway. You know, Saul said, yeah, give me 100 foreskins and I'll give you my daughter. Oh yeah, well he scribbles 200 Philistines. He has no conscience about that. In his fighting with Moab, who had actually looked after his mum and dad when he was on the run from Saul, he makes them lie down in three lines and sort of says, yeah, well, one line will live, the other two we're going to kill. This was sort of Auschwitz-style abuse of people. He slew, we're told, every male in Edom. He wasn't told to do this, he just did it. He had a bloodlust, I'm afraid. And there's a lot of other examples of that. The way when he's living with the Philistines in Gath, he says, yeah, I hate Israel. I'm going to go with my men and we're going to raise whole villages to the ground and kill them. And he goes out and he attacks the Amalekites and he kills everybody in the Amalekite settlements, man, woman and child, just so that there's no one left alive to go back and say, oh, David actually isn't attacking the cities of Judah. He's attacking us, the Amalekites. He really doesn't care about shedding blood. And so God was not pleased with that. And God said, because you've shed blood, you can't build the temple. Well, Solomon spins that. He says, well, David, my father, on and on about his father, couldn't build the temple because of, well, you know, all the wars that were going on all around him on every side until Yahweh put his enemies under the soles of his feet. Well, yeah, that's a big spin. And it's because he was spinning the narrative that he kept spinning in his own mind, that Now, he was to be the promised descendant of David, although that was all conditional. So he says to Hiram, verse 4, "But now Yahweh has given me rest on every side, and there is no adversary anywhere." Well, no, Solomon, 1 Kings 11, God raised him up, all sorts of adversaries, or Satans, that's all the word Satan means, an adversary. He raised him up, all sorts of adversaries, Hadad, Rezon, others, all through 1 Kings 11. That word is used. So again, Solomon is spinning things to fit his narrative. And he says, well, I'm going to build a house for the name of Yahweh my God, because I am the fulfillment of the promise to my father David. Well, you know, God had said, no, I will build you a house in the sense of a family. And he was assuming that he was this messianic son who would build a house for God's name. But the idea clearly was that this is a house in the sense of a community of people. And the messianic descendant would do this because and if he was faithful. Well, all the way through then, Solomon is spinning his own narrative rather than being humble to God's word and seeing the tremendous theme that there was in the promises to David that the special messianic seed had to be obedient, and the whole thing was conditional upon that. Verse 13, King Solomon raised a levy from all Israel, and we're told that he placed 3,300 taskmasters over them, who bore rule over them. Verse 16, the Hebrew means to trample down. And this is exactly what Samuel had warned Israel of when they wanted a king, that this was the kind of king they would have, and this is what Solomon was like to them. And the language used is exactly that of how the Egyptians put taskmasters over Israel. Exodus 1:11, same word. And, you know, don't forget, Solomon had married Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh of Egypt was his father-in-law. And he's now acting like Pharaoh to his own people. That's why when he dies, all the people come to his son Rehoboam and say, look, your father abused us. Can you please just reduce this a bit? So you can see then that really Solomon was not living as he should, and he got this idea of a temple and became obsessed with it because he was really apparently serving God just in ways that reinforced his own ego. He says in Ecclesiastes that he went through an obsession with building, that he built all sorts of things. And of course, how it ends is that, as the scriptures say, his wives turned away his heart, and he turned away from Yahweh and turned to the idols, and he in fact built them temples all around the temple of Yahweh that he built when he was younger. So what is in this for us? All faith must be personal, because God is all about personal relationship. You cannot, in a collective sense, in a cultural sense, sort of drift into God's kingdom. It's all about relationship, and that means that he will work personally in your life. You cannot just waft into salvation on the basis of your culture or of your family.